Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Come on, let's put our hands together and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. For he is worthy, oh yes he is, of all of our praises. Amen, amen, amen. We appreciate God for you all being here today. Thank you again, praise and worship team, for allowing us to enter into your time of worship and praise. You have set an atmosphere of worship, and I give God thanks for this day. I'm going to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, to look at a couple of passages of scripture with me. If you have your Bibles, please turn them to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 14 and 15, and then drop down to verse 17. And as you are looking at that, if you don't have a Bible or a form of the Word of God through your cell phone or your tablet, please just look up on the screen and they will provide you with that from the Media Center. But if I could get everyone to stand on your feet and let's reverence the word of God again. It is the custom of this house, but if you are not able to for whatever reason, please understand that we know and we understand. Again, for our Facebook and YouTube people, we are so thankful that you're here with us via live stream. But for those that are here in person, please allow me to read this in your hearing as you read it silently. In 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15 and verse 17, it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." And verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Eternal God, once again, we realize that it's in you that we live, move, and have our very being. So, Lord, we ask you right now, God, to come visit us today. Meet us right where we are. Deal with, Lord, the issues of our heart. And help us, O Lord Jesus, to be responsive to your word. Let us eat the whole roll today, God, for it is needful. And God, if you would, please lend me your anointing, because it's through your anointed word that yokes, fetters, and chains are broken, lives are restored. And most of all, God, somebody in this day will come to know you after they repent of their sins. You fill them with the Holy Ghost and they're baptized in your name. God, when these things happen, we'll remember to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let everyone say in Jesus' name. Before you're seated, please, sir, ma'am, allow me to read to you 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. That is our key verse. But let me this time read it from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is, grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn, renewed by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. The old things," meaning the previous moral, spiritual condition, "have passed away. Behold, new things have come," because spiritual awakening brings a new life. For the remaining time that I have, I want to minister to you from this thought. Break the cycle. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, it's time to break the cycle." God bless you. You may be seated. And as we look at our thought today, there are two words that should jump out, leap out to us. And one of those words is the word break. When you think of a break in this noun form, it is to interrupt a sequence, something that occurs constantly, a course or continuous state. And then the other word that should have registered is the word cycle. A cycle is a series of events that are regularly repeated, meaning you find yourself doing them over and over again. It's regularly repeated in the same order. So as we look at our thought, break the cycle, there's an Old Testament character who just comes to my mind by the name of Abraham. Everybody say Abraham. You see, the reason we can look at Abraham as a cycle breaker is because he chose not to follow the cycle of his father, Terah, which came from a long line of idol worshipers. Terah came from Ur of the Chaldees. Ur was a large, prosperous city, state in Mesopotamia. Now, the name Ur comes from light or fire, likely descriptive of its adulterous fire worship common in the land. The city also paid homage to the moon god called Sin. That's ironic. Terah, along with other Israelites, forefathers, they embraced, they got a hold of pagan practices. But God, somebody say, but God. You see, but God in his mercy, choosing apparently to speak to Abraham even before Abraham knew God. Y'all have to understand, Abraham is about 75 years old. He don't know nothing about the God of Israel. All he knows is about these little G-O-Ds. But now that God, the only God, speaks to him. And it's recorded when you get a chance in Genesis, the 12th chapter. But let me show you what they say about this in the New Testament in Acts 7, 2 through 4. And he said, brethren and fathers, listen. Somebody say, listen. Yes. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, get out of your country and from your relative. See, there are some times you got to just move. Get away from your relatives and come to a land I will show you. Brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, Abraham never heard the voice of God. This is the first time he's listening. I'm thinking today somebody in the Sunday school lesson should have got the message that you have to be obedient. See, God is not looking for sacrifice, but he's looking for obedience. Let me go back here anyway. He tells him to get out of the country, move from your relatives, and come to a land, and I will show you. Hadn't shown him yet. It's coming. Somebody say, it's coming. But not yet. Then he came out of the land, meaning Abraham. He was obedient to the voice of God. Then he comes out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to the land in which you now dwell. So that's a result of him breaking the cycle. You see, God spoke to Abraham in what we now know as the Abrahamic covenant, through which God promised to make from Abraham a great nation. He told Abraham, if you look up in the stars and you can count them, and we know you can't. If you look down on the seashore and you see the sand and you can count it, that's how your seed is going to come. It's going to be innumerable. Tell that person next to you it's time to break the cycle. All right. Just allow me to share you one other person that comes to mind when we talk about break the cycle. His name is Jabez. Somebody say Jabez. Jabez. I know many of you probably won't even just, where did that come from? It's an obscure place in the Bible. It gives genealogy. And then all of a sudden, somewhere in that genealogy, you'll hear the name Jabez. The Bible says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because I bore him with pain. Translation, his name meant pain. That's what you are to me. You're pain. How about that for a name? Now, Jabez called on the God of Israel saying, and listen to this is his prayer. It's called Jabez's Prayer. And we remember some years ago there was a book out and many people flocked to get it. But this is what his prayer said. Oh, Lord, bless me. That sounds like us. Oh, Lord, bless me. Bless me indeed. And expand my territory. Keep your hand on me. Keep evil from me that I may not cause pain. You see, he understood that he was going to go through life with a name called pain. But he says that I may not cause pain. And the Bible said, and God granted him what he had requested. You get a chance, you can check it out. But it's 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. Now, listen to me. Nothing is known about the man whose voice that we hear in this prayer. There's nothing really specific other than the fact that we find him crunch between genealogy, and then you hear his name mentioned, you hear what his name meant, and then you hear this prayer. This voice, his heartfelt cry to God. He appears to be a man whose family was erased. Can you imagine? And there are some families right now, they are on the brink of extinction or distinction because extinction. Thank you. Lord, thank you. When we realize that we're the last living person in our family, and after you die, your name is like it's erased. Well, here's Jabez. It's almost though that his name, his family's name was erased out of the history of Israel. But if the man and his family's memory were erased, ask yourself this question. Why is he mentioned then at all? If he's erased, why do we hear about him? And why does his prayer appear in a listing of members of the tribe of Judah? In Jabez, conceived in pain, but delivered in victory. Oh, that went over somebody's head. He was conceived in pain. But watch this, he was delivered in victory. We meet the man behind the prayer, Jabez. We discover why his family could not be mentioned in the chronicles of the tribes. We learn why he was more honorable than his brothers. More importantly, we find a man with whom many of us can identify with. Somebody say, I can identify with him. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he was a man of a pitiful past and no hope for the future. And that describes many of us just here live and in living color and those that are live on streaming. He was a man who struggled to find meaning and significance in life. Somebody shout, the struggle is real. Yeah. You see, he is a man who is desperate to be accepted by his fellow man. But most of all, he is a man who craves relationship with God. Do I have me one somebody that wants to have a relationship with God? You want to taste and see that the Lord is good. You want to know him for yourself, not based on mama, not based on daddy, not papa, me, mom, but you want a relationship with him for yourself. Well, you see, Jabez, above all of that, he was a man that craved relationship with God. And so in the end, guess what? Jabez wins. In the end, Jabez also turns out to be more than an obscure man in a forgotten time. Instead, we find him to be a man whose prayer had a significant impact on the history of Israel. Somebody say, why? I'm glad you asked. Because he was willing to break the cycle, changing the narrative and the outcome of his legacy. He would no longer be known as the pain, but he would be known as the man that spoke a prayer and God honored it. You see, though his story happened over 3,000 years ago approximately, it impacted us still today. That's why many of you went out and bought that book, The Prayer of Jabez. It's still impactful. A scripture that alludes to that is in Psalm 66, verse 16 through 20. Now listen to what it said. Come and hear all ye that fear God. Any God-fearing people in here today? It says, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he had done for my soul. Has he done anything for you lately? Can anybody say, God, you're good like that? He said, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. Now, please listen. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You want to get shut down from God? You don't want no more communication between you and him? Let some iniquity get in your heart. Let some things get in your heart that God and you know, and you're trying to act as though it's not there. You need to hear this. You need to hear this right here. If I regard iniquity in my heart. See, that's you. God doesn't want you to have it. But if you choose to put it there, he says, I ain't hearing you. And I don't care how many times a day you pray. I don't care how you snot up the carpet when you come down to the altar. I don't care how many tears you put on here. He said, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear me. It says in verse 19, but verily God have heard me. So evidently he must have not had any bad feelings. He hadn't had any ill will toward his mom and those that have looked at him in a certain way. He said, but verily God have heard me. He have attended to the voice of my prayer. See, that's why you have to understand God hears you when you pray. When you pray the Bible way. But you can't come to this altar and expect God to do something for you. And you're regarding iniquity. You got some deep-seated issues of the heart. You know, I love to look out in the congregation. And YouTube and Facebook, I wish I could see your face right now. Because I'm knocking at your door. Because if you regard iniquity in your heart, Lord said, I ain't hearing you. But verily God have heard me. He have attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which have not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Brothers and sisters, when we come to God with our lives tore up from the floor up, whether it be by the hands of others or by our own hands, guess what? God takes our broken hearts. He makes them new. Somebody say new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things. Somebody say all. All means all, and that's all. I'm telling you. Behold, all things are become new. In Matthew 6, 9, 16, and 17. Listen to what it says. No man putteth a piece of new cloth on an old garment. This brought me back to, we done come a long way. Somebody said we come a long way. And in some cases, we're going backwards. But let me just stop right here. Listen to what it says. No man putteth a piece of new cloth on an old garment. How many of you know years ago, I mean like way back now, it was not fashionable to have holes in your jeans. Matter of fact, you would be crying, Mom, please don't send me out. Could you put a patch on it? Anybody remember them patches? You put them right there. But see, the thing, hey, Jesus, the thing about putting those patches, a brand new patch on that tore up jean, after a while, you look down and it's like flapping. What happens? It's just what the scripture is saying. Please, I'm trying to make this thing live. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment. For that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment. And the rent is made worse. Some of you are in a worse condition because of what you're trying to do. You're trying to serve God with an old mentality when you have to have a renewed mind. Then he said in verse 17, neither do men put new wine into old bottles. Now listen to this. Else the bottles break and the wine runneth out and the bottles perish. All of that work for naught, for nothing. But I love this. It says, but is a conjunction. Let's find out the function. But they put new wine into new bottles. Somebody needs the wine, the new wine, the ghost of the Holy. I reversed it, didn't I? The Holy Ghost can only come in to a new vessel, a vessel that is prepared, a vessel that is breaking the cycle. The vessel that says, you know what, Lord, this is the issue. I've got it now. But listen to what happens. He puts new wine into new bottles, and it says, and both are preserved. See what happens? When you get your life in order and you want him to fill you with that new wine, you're not only going to be filled with the new wine, but it's going to preserve you. Is going to keep you. Somebody say he's a keeper. Yeah. Oh, yes, he is. God will keep those that want to be kept. God will keep you in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your test. The Holy Ghost will keep you. It's time to break the cycle. It's time to break the cycle of destructive behavior in our lives. You know some of those things. Substance abuse. That's right. I said it. You drinking saints. You drugging saints. You smoking saints. That ought not to be named amongst us. So we've got to break that destructive behavior in our lives, such as substance abuse, sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. In the church, it happens. Violence. Unforgiveness. Now, don't get quiet on me. Unforgiveness is going to send a lot of folk to hell. Cancel your ticket. Don't tell me about, I've been washed. You have unforgiveness in your heart. And you think you're going? No, sir. No, ma'am. Cancel that ticket. That needs to be broken. That cycle of unforgiveness. Well, Pastor, you don't know. You're right, I don't know. But I know one that does know. Matter of fact, he knows your heart better than you know your heart. You don't think that's the case? I want to say, and I want to quote it, but I'm not going to quote it. I'm going to read this to you. Because some of us sit here and you say, oh, you don't know my heart. You're right, I don't know your heart, but I know one that does. And this is what he says about the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. It's time to break the cycle of unforgiveness. Break the cycle of dysfunctionality in your family. Somebody said, well, Pastor, everybody has dysfunction in their family. Not so. Not like some of us. Man, we got drama going on. We could write a script and put it and sell it to Hollywood. That's how much drama in the dysfunctionality in your families. And think you're going somewhere like that. No, sir. That's not how it works. Christ's love and life. He breaks the cycle of our past, giving us a new future. Anybody want a new future? Anybody want to have a bright future? Anybody want to walk in the newness of Christ? And I'm telling you, it doesn't end there. Somebody said the end is not yet. Throughout our lives, we can find hope and strength in what God has done and continues to do in us. Each and every moment, it's time to be a cycle breaker. Now, somebody looking at me live in living color and probably on live stream saying, what in the world is a cycle breaker? Somebody say, what is it? I'm glad you asked. A cycle breaker sees and recognizes destructive and negative patterns in their life. And know what they do? They do everything in their power to change the narrative. Now, I'm just about done, but I've got a question. Do I have any cycle breakers in the house? Now you heard what a cycle breaker is. Do I have any cycle breakers in the house? Somebody that says, I see that destructive negativity in my life and I want to break it. I want to get to the place where when I come in, that stuff dissipates. Do I got any breakers in the house? Well, let me say to you, your narrative can change. But nobody can change it but you. I can want all I want for your life to be better, to be prosperous, to know God in a real, real way. But sir, ma'am, if your desire doesn't exceed my desire, that's all it is. It's just desire. It's time to break the cycle. Can I get you to stand? Bible is full of other accounts of people that we could look at as cycle breakers. I gave you two. At your leisure, go back and study their accounts. Study how they got to be that way and how the narrative was totally changed. But now, that was then and this is now. With every head bowed and all eyes closed, you need to answer the question, sir or ma'am, have I broken the cycles in my life? Maybe, Pastor, you called it out, but I was unwilling. I was afraid. But now I feel empowered through the word of God. I know who I am and whose I am. I'm a cycle breaker. And Lord, I'm ready to do my part. If you are, the altar is open for anyone and everyone. But I'm here to tell you, the cycles of your life are known by God and you. That's the thing. To thine own self be true. You know the cycles. You know how long you have been in those cycles. You're like a hamster running around that wheel over and over. But at some point in time, you got to get off that wheel. You got to break the cycle. You've got to say, I can do better than this. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Are you here today? Maybe somebody saying, you know what? I want to experience God for myself. I've heard about him. I've been brought up. But I've never personally committed my life to him. I never surrendered to him. Are you here today? Those that are yet needing the Holy Ghost, you know that you can't go anywhere without it. He said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Please, I beseech you, become a cycle breaker today. Become someone that is tired of being sick and tired. It's time to realize the cycle must end. Amen. That generational curse, if you please, in your family, the cycle must be broken today. You've got to interrupt it. You've got to interrupt that sequence, that course, that continual state that you're living in. This cycle, that series of events that keep on happening again and again, it's a regular repeating. We're going to anoint these with oil. We're going to pray with them. According to the scripture, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Are you here today? Those that are in your seats, please continue to pray. Pray while we are praying with these. Believe God with me. Join me in prayer. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive. And with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.